Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Free hour tomorrow with the Unicorn Cash Co.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with the Jason and John Show.
He's an OG of the NBA draft. His name is Jonathan Gaboni. Covers NBA draft over at ESPN with Draft Express, and he joins us now. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Everything is good.
Appreciate
in Memphis.
Your time.
We got lucky, and so I think we're excited about that. You reported yesterday news to the city's ears that the Grizzlies have locked in on Ja Morant, the star lead guard for Murray State. Does he immediately become the face of the Grizzlies franchise if he's the pick? And it sounds like he will be the pick at number two.
Does, along with Jaren Jackson, just having those two guys paired together at the one and the five, that's a very exciting duo, I think, not just in the city of Memphis, but I think the Grizzlies immediately become one of those young teams that you want to watch. You know, maybe they're not going to make the playoffs right away, but, you know, you look at them like what the Sacramento Kings became last year. It's just entertaining to watch. And so I'm looking forward to it. And obviously great news for the Grizzlies fan, all that much luck with the draft lottery over the last 2 years.
Jonathan, I got to ask you, going along with your story, what advantage is there for the Grizzlies in terms of going in and laying it out there and like you said, telling the interested parties that we're going in and taking a draft? I understand it for the fans. You know, you can lock in guys. They can get locked in on their guy. But what advantage for the Grizzlies is there in that?
Well, let's go through the pros and the cons, first of all. The pros are you show Ja Morant from the moment that the lottery balls are unveiled, you're our guy.
Yep.
You know, we love you, and we're going to build this franchise around you. And I think that says something. You are a smaller market team like Memphis who wants to keep this guy around for the next 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think a guy like Ja Morant looks at that and says, those guys are, they love me from day one. There was some loyalty there established. Obviously, we'll see what happens down the road, but that's a great that relationship, especially for a guy who is coming from Murray State, who people didn't show him a lot of love
right early
on in his career. So that means something. Two, I think it shows NBA teams, we're serious about moving Mike Conley. You know, get your best offers in because this is not a situation where we're going to mess around too much. When we are, they could keep Conley around. Obviously, who's a better mentor for a guy like that? They can also play together some. You know, in today's NBA,
sure, having
two guards like that wouldn't hurt. So I'm not necessarily sure that they're going to trade him tomorrow, but
right, it
does show other teams that, you know, if they want Mike Conley, which I think a lot of people are, I mean, the guy averaged 21.7 assists last year, go get your offers in now. On the other end of the spectrum, I'm not convinced 100% myself that Ja Morant is a lock to be the second best player in this draft.
Mm.
I think RJ Barrett is the guy in. You have to interview him. You put him through a workout.
Yes.
You have to really study his film, you know, look at his medical, everything, because this is, if you watch the NBA playoffs right now, you don't see a ton of 6'2", 165-pound guards making the difference. What you do see is you see 6'7" wings who can create their own shot, who can play pick and roll, who can make every pass, who are great in the open floor. And so, RJ Barrett is that. And so I'm not ready to concede personally that Morant is necessarily the greater talent of the two. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just think that's more of a testament to how talented RJ is and what he's been through. You can't discount that, winning everything there is in high school basketball, being the number one player in his class, winning the gold medal, defeating USA basketball,
mm-hmm,
going through what he did this year at Duke. So I think it's an interesting argument to make, but I understand both sides of it, and I get why the Grizzlies, you know, being as excited as they were about the results of the draft lottery, couldn't wait to kind of spill the beans in NBA community and say, Ja, that's our guy.
We are, of course, talking to Jonathan Givony of ESPN and Draft Express. We know what Ja does well. Elite athleticism, great instincts, his ability to make the players around him better. When you evaluate him and you assess him, though, what are the areas that he's going to have to improve on at the next level to be, you know, to be an all-star, which is what you would expect to be getting at number two?
Well, strength is have the biggest frame around, so it's going to take him a few years, I think, to continue to add bulk and be able to handle the rigors of the point guard position on both ends of the floor. Finishing around the basket is a big one. He struggled at times in that area. He, you know, he's ambidextrous. He's got great touch, but he's not the strong. You can knock him off his path fairly easily. And defensively, his effort level came and went. Part of it was because he was the end-all, be-all for Murray State. Right. He had to carry such a huge load for them. You know, that is, he has a little bit of a casual demeanor, which also manifests itself in terms of, you know, trying to make the home. Part of the reason why he's so exciting is because of his ability to play off a live dribble, use both hands, you know, splitting ball screens, finding the open man, throwing lobs. I mean, all the things that make him an internet sensation and such an incredible talent. Also things that, you know, sometimes you have to learn when to dial it back in the fourth quarter. Tight game. But I mean, those are things that come with age, with experience, and I don't think that they're significant issues. The shooting is the component that will be the most interesting. I think he's a better shooter than his numbers reflect.
Interesting.
And the mechanics are a little bit shot maker. He's got great touch. I think he's going to be a good shooter in time, but he's not that yet. And, you know, transition to the NBA 3-point line, it's going to take him some time. He's probably not going to be the most efficient player early on. You know, history tells us that rookie point guards, you know, rarely win positive, you know, net impact in terms of compared to their peers, you know, the all-stars. So it's going to take him some time, but, you know, there's no question that this guy is going to be a star in the NBA down the road.
You've sort of laid it out already, and John hit you with weaknesses there. Just when you watch him and watch him, and we know there's the wow factor, but when you watch, best part of his game to you, what do you like the most?
His passing ability, just his vision, his creativity, his timing. It's very rare to see a guy who is equally good at passing with his left and his right hand.
Yes.
And, you know, just the ability to, in full speed, 90-foot passes up the court. That's just, you can't teach that. You know, there's only a handful of guys in the NBA right now who can do that. And you pair that with a freakish athleticism. I mean, the guy could be in the NBA dunk contest. And then the toughness as well. I mean, all the off-court intangibles, you don't get to where he is, you know, if you aren't, you know, a very successful person off the floor as well. And so all those things together give me confidence that Ja Morant is going to be a great player in the NBA.
We are, of course, talking to Jonathan Givony of ESPN and Draft Express. Zion Williamson obviously going to go number one in this draft. It was interesting. Brian Windhorst, your colleague over at ESPN, mentioned that he does have options if he doesn't like the Pelican situation, for example, going back to Duke for a sophomore season because he hasn't hired an agent or signed a shoe deal. There's no way that happens, is there?
Today and said that, you know, 100% he's not going back to school, and that he's also very excited to be in New Orleans. Yeah. And so I think that was good for the Pelicans community to hear. You know, I know that the big market fans were, you know, they're upset. Everybody wanted Zion going to a good situation for him. I don't know that necessarily he's a guy that would love having 100 cameras in his face every day, you know, pregame, postgame, in the locker room, press conference, all that. He's a pretty low-key guy by nature. And so I think in that regard, New Orleans actually, I understand what he was saying, that he does have options, but I'm not necessarily came out the way that he hoped, and too much was made of it, honestly.
Jonathan, who's the guy right now at four for you? Is it Garland?
I think it's Garland. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean the
Nashville.
You look at the modern NBA, and you have to have guys who can play pick and roll, who can make shots off the dribble, who can make every pass. Darius Garland is that guy.
Yes. And,
you know, obviously the sample size, only playing four games in college, not ideal, but we saw what he can do in high school in AAU with USA Basketball.
Yep.
on the high school All-Star game setting, where he was one of the best players there. Hoop Summit, Jordan Brand, McDonald. So It's unfortunate that the national, all the fans and scouts weren't able to see that during the college season, because obviously things would have been much different for Vanderbilt had he not got hurt. But he's going to have a really good career in his own right. And there was some debate among us internally early on in the season, you know, who's better, Ja or Darius? And obviously Ja's, stratosphere, and then Darius getting hurt extinguished any of that talk. But maybe things could have played out differently had he, he not hurt his knee.
I love him.
Obviously, yeah, it is considered a top-heavy draft. You talk about the top three, Zion, Ja, RJ, and then maybe to an extent Darius if you want to put him in that group. For you, though, when you get past the top three, the top four, if you had to sort of plant your flag for the rest of the lottery in a prospect, like who's a guy that you've sort of identified that you think is actually going to come out of this draft and be a good prospect?
I think all of them are – I mean, there's a reason why those guys are there. DeAndre Hunter, over Jackson Hayes, Sekou Doumbouya, all these guys are going to be good players. The question is that normally what you expect to find with a fifth or sixth pick in the draft? You look at last year, for example, with a guy like Wendell Carter going seventh, I don't know if you're going to have a guy who has that type of impact. DeAndre Hunter is going to be a very good NBA player. He guards everybody. He shot 42% for three this year. He's tough as nails. He's what the NBA is looking for now with that, wing combo forward who you can start him at the four, but he can switch on everything. He can also bang inside. Mm-hmm. His performance in the national championship game for Virginia speaks for itself. This guy is battle tested. He's ready to come in and make an impact from day one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers starts looking at him at four already, because if you want to win, if you have a 35-year-old, all-star on your roster who's, the clock is ticking on him, DeAndre Hunter is the most ready player to help you right now outside of the top three.
I got to ask you about a Memphis kid we know well, Dedrick Lawson. He's a real interesting case in that you know this, Jonathan. Everywhere he's been, he's produced. He's a walking 20-10, it feels like, but he lacks the NBA athleticism. You think he's a second rounder? Is he a fringe guy?
He's in our second round for sure. Analytics models love him because, like you said, he's been extremely productive everywhere he's been. He's also got a good feel for the game. He can really pass the ball. He makes things. He's not a prototypical athlete, but he makes things happen defensively, getting in passing lanes,
yep.
Getting blocks, rebounds. He fills up the stat sheet. He's an intriguing player because, at that modern center position, there's a lot of things that he can do. He improved his three-point shooting as well. Just, doesn't exactly look the part, doesn't move all that well defensively,
defending,
stepping out on pick and roll, switching all that. That's where he might struggle. His motor kind of career, but he's still got things done most
sure
nights.
Does.
And so there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, obviously, lots of Memphis. We're focused on the 2019 NBA draft because of the luck that the Grizzlies had, but a ton of focus on 2020 as well, because it's going to include James Wiseman. It's going to include a guy we think will also head to Memphis in Precious Achiuwa. In your most recent 2020 mock draft, you've got James going number one. That would be to the Knicks. I guess that just speaks to the spring he had. Did he just dominate in these high school events in the spring?
He did, yeah. He came out with an increased focus and a higher intensity he had showed us in the past. I watched him a few times during the high school season. He was underwhelming at times. I think it's fair to say that the impact wasn't always there in terms of just the productivity. You expect a guy like that to block every shot, get every dunk every ball, and it was up and down at times. And I think part of that is the level of expectation that he's created with his talent level, that it's hard to live up to that at times. And so I think the college game is going to be good for him because he's going to be able to, go play for a coach that he knows really well. The talent they've assembled in Memphis, holy cow. I mean, it's unbelievable, it especially is. If they lock in Achiuwa. Don't sleep on Boogie Ellis. Mm-hmm. That guy can go. I don't know where he's ranked in the late 30s or whatever.
That's it.
He's every bit of McDonald's All-American caliber talent. And he's going to be able to come in from day one and score the ball.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that because he is in the top 30. It's a top 30 range, and a lot of times you don't associate those guys with necessarily NBA players. But I was told by somebody close to the program, don't be surprised if he ends up being a one-and-done player.
Wow.
I don't know if that's on your radar, Jonathan, but at least there are people around
really?
The program who do think there's a chance because he'll have the ball in his hand so much.
It's on our radar big time. We just didn't get to see him as much as we would have liked to comfortably project that and say 100%. He played for a smaller high school. Broke out really late in AAU mm-hmm. when we were, kind of focused more on the draft during this last summer. Didn't ever get a chance at USA Basketball. And so, that's kind of where you build your reputation as a one-and-done guy. But the flashes that we saw were very, very impressive. And if he starts out the season the way we think, he's going to be on our mock draft pretty fast.
Wow. And then with Precious, I don't know what he is in the NBA, Jonathan. I just know the motor looks NBA. The athleticism I know is NBA. When you look at him, is that a wing? Is he a point forward? What do you see for him?
I think he's a modern power forward. He's got ideal dimensions in terms of size, length, his frame, mm-hmm. his body type. Everybody's looking for a four who can handle the ball, who can shoot it. I mean, big men in today's NBA need to be able to do everything.
Yep.
Precious Achiuwa really opened our eyes this past spring with what he did, especially at the net, but also McDonald's. His skill level is much improved. The motor, the intensity has always been there. The athleticism has always been there.
Yep.
But it really started to come together for him that week in Portland at Hoop Summit.
Mm-hmm.
He was dominant. I mean, he was the second best player on that world team besides Nico Mannion. Had a great performance in the game, I thought. He still has some rough edges that he's going to have to smooth out in terms of, his feel for the game and making decisions. And he's such a high motor guy that he wants to do everything all the time.
Right.
And so, that can lead to turnovers at times, but that's what you want to see from.
Yeah.
He moved his way into our top 10, and he's every bit of a lottery prospect.
Yeah, they're certainly hoping that he makes his decision for Memphis on Friday. And then last thing on this, I don't know how much this guy's on your radar. His name is Rajon Tucker. He's a graduate transfer from Little Rock who committed to Memphis last weekend. It was funny because he committed to Memphis, and in the next tweet he said, oh, but by the way, I'm staying in the NBA draft process. Have you heard anything about Rajon Tucker in relation to, I don't think he's at the combine, but anything about him in relation to whether he would, be on anybody's draft board or have a chance at a two-way contract, anything like that?
I've watched him extensively on film, both full games and on Synergy. The guy is an absolute freak athlete. Yep. I mean, they're in transition. He's a freight train. He's got great scoring instincts. He can shoot off the dribble. He can do a lot of different things. I was watching him. The comp that I gave was Nick Young, because he can get going and do some crazy stuff. Sometimes there's going to be turnovers. There's going to be some bad shots, but the talent level is really, really high. I don't anticipate him staying in the draft just because he needs that year at Memphis to really show people, what he can do on the biggest stages of college basketball. I'm sure they're going to have a national schedule, and, NBA scouts will be there front and center for every practice and every game. And so that's going to help him. It's good for him maybe to get a handful of workouts, which will, give him some experience to go into next year's pre-draft process. I haven't spoken with him. I'm not exactly sure what he will do, but I'd be surprised if he didn't pull his name out on May 29th.
Gotcha. Jonathan, man, this was awesome.
Thank you for this. Hope to see you next year around this Memphis team.
We appreciate the breakdowns as always.
I'll be around. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. He is Jonathan Givony of ESPN and Draft Express. There you go.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, full breakdowns. Great spring for Wiseman. Great spring for Precious Achiuwa. And then sounds like, listen, if Memphis can manage to get Rajon Tucker on campus, I mean, he is going to be a difference maker for them like we thought.
The most interesting thing to me out of that interview was the Boogie Ellis talk, y'all.
Yeah, man.
I had not thought one
that's why
and done.
That's why I was always
Boogie
like,
Ellis.
Boogie Ellis is not some consolation prize if you don't get RJ Hampton. Like, this guy is a stud,
But one and done?
One and done.
You know what that helps you with is all these guards are after in 2020. I don't if he became one and done. Like I've wondered how you're gonna get Jalen Green and you know, all these other Morrell is a guy. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
Be interesting to see. That was great stuff.
Yeah. Coming up next on The Six.
How surprised were you to see the tweet that the Grizzlies are supposedly telling the entire universe they're going to take Ja Morant?
It wasn't just a tweet. It was a story. It was published on the site. Right.
First, I saw it as a tweet. I guess first.
It is not. Well, I mean, it would be a lot more surprising if the story was the Grizzlies are telling people they're taking Jarrett Culver at number two.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Season tickets for the 2019 Memphis Tigers football season are on sale now and start at $100 when you buy four in the Family Fun Zone and $150 for end zone seats. The six-game home schedule is highlighted with matchups against regional foe Ole Miss, plus AAC rivals Cincinnati and Navy. A season ticket includes the same great seat for all six home games. Plus, priority options to buy single game tickets, bowl tickets, and more. Be part of the incredible game day experience and get your seats today at GoTigersGo.com or call 901-678-2331. Stripe up.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money borrowed within 72 hours, and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loans should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Experience the difference of a Spartan mower. Spartan not only looks amazing on and off the lawn, it's packed with standard features like GT Track for precision traction, balance and control, with optional features like radial front tires and an all-new 360 floating seat for an incredibly comfortable ride. Take command of your yard. Take command of your time. Take command of your life by joining one of the fastest growing mower companies in the world, Lads, for your zero turn and golf car needs.
Let's up your life with Let's. Let's up your life.
We started Allegiant with a simple goal, so the one person who couldn't travel could. 80 million passengers later, that goal remains the same. Save when you book flights, rental cars, and hotels together only at Allegiant.com. Together, we fly.
Book a nonstop flight from Memphis to Phoenix Mesa one way for as low as $80. Must be purchased by May 29, 2019 for travel between June 10, 2019 and August 12, 2019. Seats and dates are limited. Restrictions apply. See Allegiant.com for details.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You gather some coworkers around your laptop to watch the funniest video ever.
So funny.
But nobody is laughing. You couldn't save yourself from the next 3 minutes of unlaughable regret. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your sense of humor has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even has a 97% customer satisfaction rating and has been helping people save money for over 75 years.
Oh.
And while your little video party isn't going as expected, you could expect more savings from your local Geico agent.
You couldn't save yourself from a laughless video flop, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Now, back to The Six with The Jeff Calkins Show.
All right, back on The Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from The Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what's this song that we're listening to here?
That's Scratchy by then-teen rock guitar prodigy Travis Womack. Released in 1964, recorded at Memphis' Sonic Studios. That's a song from our middle edition of the Memphis Roadmap that was out this week.
The Memphis Roadmap was out this week.
Memphis Music Roadmap.
Memphis Music Roadmap. Read about it at the Daily Memphian. There are three different chapters to the three different installments to the story. A song a year describing Memphis history. As someone who was a total ignoramus, I found it to be. I honestly, you just keep it, and it's invaluable, and the kind of thing you won't find anywhere else. Part two basically said that the history of Memphis music is essentially the history of Memphis. I mean, it's this a black muse. I mean, in the end, right? Is it?
Yeah, that was the intro. The intro to part one. I wrote that. But yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you have this history of, you know, Sun, sort of, you know, blues and country came together at Sun, and you had, you know, these white rockabilly artists, and then, I mean, Stax. There's a lot of story of sort of racial interaction that's part of the Stax story. But first and foremost, the story of Memphis music, I mean, this should be surprising right. to no one, is the story of black Memphis music.
Right. And then, so what was the golden age? Was there a golden age? What was
the golden age? That's what we called the middle installment of the three parts, which we put out on Tuesday. We called the golden age. That was the 50s through the 70s. And that was really sort of the rise of Sun Records in the 50s through the peak of Al Green in the mid-70s, that sort of rock and roll and soul era.
Right. And when, by the end of the 70s, that had...
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about a little bit of this in the intro to the third volume, which came out yesterday. I've written about this before. You know, on one hand, you have these individual things that happened in Memphis. Elvis Presley died. Stax went bankrupt. Al Green abandoned secular music and went to the church. And so it's easy to explain away sort of the end of the golden era by those individual actions.
Right.
But I think what has been too little understood, and maybe it's not anymore, is that really the golden era went away for the same reason it came in, because of larger historical shifts in popular music. Popular music in America in the early and mid-20th century was directly blues-based, and that's where Memphis is where those vectors pointed. And once you got into the late 70s, you had all these changes in music writ large where, you know, punk happens and hip-hop happens, and disco happens, which people think of as short-lived, but really that changed production techniques that informed modern R&B and modern soul and modern and funk. And so the energy became more indirectly blues-based than directly blues-based. It became more urban than rural, more northern than southern. And so the energy shifted in a way that was going to naturally shift away from
Memphis. So it shifted to Seattle, right? It shifted to... Where did it shift to?
Well, that's part of the story.
And country became more popularized, sort of, too, right?
Yeah, that's part of the story, too. It didn't really shift anywhere in the sense that another thing that happened is that music became less place-oriented. You know, it shifted to the internet.
Right.
Right? Yeah, I mean, right. You know, so it's not only that Memphis is not what it used to be. No place is what Memphis used to be, and no place probably will be what Memphis used to be.
Although Nashville is what Memphis used to be in its own way.
No, but Nashville
is the most place-oriented thing.
Nashville is a company town. Nashville is a one genre, one industry company town. And so country music, mainstream country music in Nashville is what gambling is in Las Vegas or whatever. That's different from what Memphis was. It's this organic sort of music place, and you know, in the early and mid-20th century.
Okay. And so where is it now? Now it feels
it's
like
the internet.
Rap. No, where's Memphis now? Now it feels like the real, a lot of the original stuff that's happening in Memphis, or prominent stuff, is rap. Is that?
Yeah, I think music that's making an impact outside the city is largely rap. But I think what really is Memphis is sort of like, beyond that, Memphis is sort of like what Austin is a little bit, in that it's more of a, you know, it's not as much of a commercial music center. It's a music center, but less of a commercial music center. It's more about people recording or people playing out, or it's more of like a modern roots music city that is rich in that area because it has a historical rooting. It's not a center of music commerce the way it used to be.
It is still producing good music.
Sure. Yeah. I think Memphis is better than most cities now. It's not what it was, but it's better than most cities because music matters more here. In large part.
You can read the series over at the Daily Memphian. In the meantime, we have draft twists and turns. How surprised were you to see the tweet from Jonathan Givony, who, by the way, is going to be on with Jason and John later today? How surprised were you to see the tweet that the Grizzlies are supposedly telling the entire universe they're going to take Ja Morant?
It wasn't just a tweet. It was a story. It was
and
published
story, right?
on the site.
Right. First, I saw it as a tweet.
Yeah.
I guess that's first.
It is not. Well, I mean, it would be a lot more surprising if the story was the Grizzlies are telling people they're taking Jarrett Culver at number two. So I think everyone assumes that the end game is Ja Morant at number two, right? So that's not surprising. I do find it curious that it would come out that Grizzlies representatives in the story, if you read sort of between the lines and read closely, he is not saying anyone from the Grizzlies has told him anything. And so there's no sense that the Grizzlies have told anyone in the media anything. What he's essentially saying is that people from the Grizzlies have told, he says, quote-unquote, interested parties, which I take to mean probably like people connected with Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett, have told people in Chicago that's what they're going to do. In most circumstances, that wouldn't be surprising because it's like the number two overall pick, and you know who's going one.
Right.
And so, like, you know, it's not surprising for that to be locked in before the draft. But I think it's a little curious in this specific situation because the Grizzlies have a front office that is mostly not new. The only really new person is Rich Choe, but it is led by people who are in different positions and led by people who were not focused on college scouting last season, right? And it's also led by people who have said we are going to be very process-oriented and very deliberate and systematic and et cetera. And also a team that did not expect to have the number two overall pick.
I was going to say, like, they couldn't have been spending their whole year. Zach Kleiman could not have spent his whole year looking at John Morant.
I mean, I'm sure, like, Chris Makris, who runs their scouting department, has a very firm eye. He has spent all year thinking about these people. I'm sure he's a pretty...
But they also didn't know if they were going to have a pick, and they didn't know if it was going to be the 12th pick.
Right, they didn't know it was going to have the second. And so, put all that together, the idea that they would have not only a firm opinion, but would it express a firm opinion to other people the day after the lottery is a little curious. And then the reference in the Gavone piece to front office and members of the ownership group was a little curious too, right?
Who could that mean?
Well, Robert Parra is not in Chicago, but the implication is not necessarily that people, if you read it closely, it doesn't necessarily, not necessarily saying that members of the ownership group, like with their feet on the ground in Chicago, were telling people this. Like it could have been
on the phone. Could have been Robert Parra could have called John and said, "Hey, John, we would love you. We're thinking of taking you."
I mean, I talked to someone outside the organization who wondered, like, whose thought was, like, you know, the story either is A, bogus, B, it's a sort of a bad look for this front office that says, like, we're going to be very deliberate and blah, blah, blah. Or maybe Robert Parra phoned it in. But Robert Parra's already said, like, this is who I want to take. I don't know the answer to any of that, but that is what it was presented to me. Like, it's got to be one of these three things. Either there's something, you know.
None of those are good.
Well, you know, on the first part, let me specify. Like John Gavone is great, and he's not making anything up. He's getting this from people who matter. But the way it's reported, there's sort of a second, third layer that's embedded in the way it's reported.
Right.
So
between him.
You wonder about the degree there's a game of telephone going on among, if it's like third hand, somebody told me that the Grizzlies told someone else. That's sort of what it sounds like, right?
Right. Do you believe that let's just take it on its face. I believe that he has heard that, right?
Clearly, yes, but absolutely.
Do you believe they have made up their mind to take John Morant?
I think it makes all the sense in the world that John Morant is who they would
will ultimately take.
Yes. And so I suspect that even though Zach Kleiman was not necessarily working on this draft all year, he was dealing with more NBA-level stuff, right? He was dealing with contracts and trade-level stuff as assistant GM. I don't think he was without thought on the draft as an assistant general manager of an NBA team. And obviously people on the staff, like the scouting department I just mentioned, which was still in place. The scouting department is in place. It's not a new scouting department. They were working on it all year.
And they've seen John Morant.
So I'm sure like when they looked up on lottery night and they got the number two pick, it wasn't like, okay, we're starting with a blank slate. We have no opinions about any of this.
Right.
So I think it's quite possible that as soon as that pick came up, that they thought we'll probably end up taking John Morant. But I still would expect them to go through a process. And so if they are in fact telling people, day two, we're going to take John Morant, then you assume that means R.J. Barrett's not going to come into Memphis and not going to do it, you know.
Well, it's funny.
That would surprise me if they didn't go through the process with that. Now, of course, they also met with Zion Williamson apparently yesterday.
You would think that they would, drill down.
Go through the background checks
of John Morant.
Bring them both in.
1,000 people to talk. Now, Gary has made the point that with New York and L.A. right behind him, that R.J. Barrett is the kind of person that may not want to come to Memphis. Like that, and not that he's a big timer or whatever,
but he's been
a star from the day one. He's looking like the third pick. He might just say, I don't want to go light it up in Memphis and make them jump ahead.
What, he wants to go to New York? What that really means is he's going to go to whoever New York trades him to, more than likely.
Oh, that's probably.
I mean, the idea that, New York's right there at three. Yeah, but New York's they're going to trade you, probably.
Only if it's for AD. And
I don't know.
I'm not sure that they have enough to get the AD done. What they got for Porzingis is enough.
If New York has, let's set Anthony Davis aside. If New York knows they're getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that means they want to win a title, compete for a title next year. The rest of that roster is all young. You're not going to win a title with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and 10, 20-year-olds. You got to add talent around that. And your best way to add talent, even if it's not Anthony Davis, is trading that pick. Maybe you're trading that pick, maybe it's Bradley Beal. Maybe it's two good players a step below that. If they want to win a title next year, R.J. Barrett can't be the third best player on that team.
Yeah, there's so much up in the air. You actually hear more and more about Brooklyn as a possible destination for KD and Kyrie as well. I mean, so, but yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. If you're betting on going to New York, you might not necessarily
right. Or LA
be going
certainly.
To New York, and LA certainly you yeah. might not be going to New York. I would be surprised, and I'm sure if you called them right now and they picked up the phone and you asked Jason Wexler, he would tell you, "Oh no, we're going to go through a process." That would be what they say.
That is what they say.
Right. Right. Yes. Of course, that is what they say.
Right.
Even if it's not true, even if they've already yes. made up their mind. That's what they say. They wouldn't say they've already made up their mind. It was a weird...
Trust me, I poked around on that story, and I got sort of a dismissive reaction to it.
Right.
Well, that's an odd story. Well,
right.
We'll see. You know?
Of course, and they will probably end up taking John Morant. And yeah, so, like, yeah. whatever. It doesn't...
Again, right. and that's who everyone wants them to take anyway. And so, like... I think it raises interesting questions about process and whether ownership and all that, right. that are really relevant. But most people don't care that much because people want them to take John Morant anyway and think that's the obvious pick. And, like, you know, it'd be a much bigger story if it was the Grizzlies have, even if it was R.J. Barrett. If the story came out about Jonathan Givony saying the Grizzlies are telling people they're taking R.J. Barrett, people would be a lot more interested in that story.
Right, exactly. The other draft news was, which I dismissed, was whatever. The speculation that Zion Williamson could. Possibly, if he didn't want to go to New Orleans, could go back to Duke. And it always seemed preposterous to me. Fairness to Windhorst, he didn't say he's pondering it. He just said it would be a possibility.
Yeah.
But, man, it caught fire, and it just seems totally unreasonable.
Well, that is something that was clearly never, ever going to happen.
Right.
Now, it is possible. It turns out this is not the case either, it looks like. It is more possible that could be used as a threat to try to leverage yourself into some other situation, a threat that you ultimately would not follow through on. Right,
right.
Like, it's not unprecedented.
It's not much of a threat.
I mean, it doesn't happen as much in the NBA.
Right.
But it wouldn't be unprecedented for a guy to not like where he's, you know.
Kobe said he was going to go play in Italy if he wasn't going to play for Cali.
Danny Ferry did go play overseas.
He did go play overseas.
And then Steve Francis, for the Vancouver Grizzlies, forced his way out. That's
right.
number two.
And football, Eli Manning forced his way. Yeah, it's
but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen in this situation.
It just seems crazy to me that it would happen. And honestly, you wouldn't capitulate if you were in New Orleans. Like, in the end, you need good players. You can't have every good player forcing their way out. There was also a basketball game last night. Actually, there have been two, and we haven't talked about either of them. Warriors dispatched the Portland, and last night Milwaukee beats the Raptors. Thoughts?
Milwaukee's the number one seed in the whole league. They're playing at home. They won. I don't remember the final score was, but I think it was still single digits, right? It was single digits late. I didn't see where it ended up. And so not a particularly surprising outcome. I was a little disappointed in Toronto's second half as someone who sort of believed in Toronto.
Yeah.
I think Toronto in the first half looked like what I expected them to look like, right?
Indeed, you tweeted it.
Yes. And so where their defense was great, they had, you know, Kawhi was leading the way, but it was sort of a balanced scoring effort. And I think they had 12 points off their bench at halftime, and they may have ended up with 12 points off the bench at the end of the game. And so, to me, the story of that game may be the story of the series. Giannis is great, and Kawhi is great. Whose supporting cast is going to be better? And last night, Toronto got a big game from Kyle Lowry, and that was it. And Milwaukee got big games from Brook Lopez and Malcolm Brogdon off the bench. 2-1.
Right.
2-1, supporting cast, Milwaukee's favor, Milwaukee wins the game. That could be the story of the series, is Giannis and Kawhi are great, but who's going to step up around them?
Right. Obviously, Brook Lopez had a big game.
Right.
Mark did not. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, we make everything the Marc Gasol referendum here, and it's sort of the whole, you know, Marc Gasol did not have as good of a game as he needs to, and neither did, like, anyone else other than Kawhi Leonard or Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry was good, yes.
And so, yeah, no, I mean, I think Gasol was good in the first half, and, you know, he played reasonably well other than the scoring. I know Brook Lopez had a big game. I mean, some of that was when Serge Ibaka was in the game, and some of that was hitting some tough shots. When you're a seven-footer who's hitting, you know, 26-footers with a hand in your face, like, there's only so much you can do on that, right?
Right.
And so Toronto has, again, I'll go back to it. To me, it's supporting cast, and Toronto – they got to get more from – they need multiple people stepping up around Kawhi every night. It doesn't have to be the same people every night. They need more from Marc Gasol, from Pascal Siakam, from everybody. I think a lot of it to me, though, and this is sort of secondary guys I know, but like Danny Green. This is time. Like you are a 3-point shooter who's won titles. You had a great regular season. Like they gotta get more from in this series. They gotta get more from those perimeter players.
Coming up next on The Six.
My vocation's sitting here and telling you what Sam Soissini said. He said it today on the Jeff Calkins Show. This is what he thinks about Ja Morant's fit with the Grizzlies and just exactly what the Grizzlies can expect with him.
He is a terrific, terrific point guard who has great vision.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN. $1,000 an hour every hour with Unicorn Cash. Every weekday at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. 92.9. Starting Monday at 2 p.m. It's Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark Giannotto, lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal.
I like you enough that I'm willing to devote 2 hours a day.
And 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright.
Monday through Fridays, 2 to 4. Keep that kind of clear.
Giannotto and Jeffrey starts Monday on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Mark Giannotto, Jeffrey Wright, Giannotto and Jeffrey. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m., 92.9 FM ESPN. Get it online at 92.9ESPN.com.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of South of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishment. Check out the new summer menu or nosh on your favorites like General Tso's cauliflower or the duck patty melt. South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale, celebrating 10 years in the South Main Art District. Get started at southofbeale.com.
It's the Memorial Day sale at Mattress Firm. Enjoy one of the best mattress holidays with our best deals of the year. Get a king mattress for the price of a queen and a queen for the price of a twin. That means you can save up to $700 on beds throughout the store. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend just $499. That's up to a $699 value, free. Hurry in, your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Beer lovers, listen up. Your Memphis Zoo is back Friday, May 24th with Zoo Brew. Sample over 100 beers smack dab in the middle of the zoo. Lions, tigers, bears, and beers. Friday, May 24th, starting at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $45. Available online at memphiszoo.org, as well as the Memphis Zoo box office. Zoo Brew is brought to you by Southland Casino Racing.
If you own a commercial building and someone tells you you need a new roof, don't do it. Instead, call Joe Stallmaker at 901 Waterproofing and Roof Coatings. Let Joe show you how restoring your existing roof with a quality coating system can save you up to 70%. All roof coating systems come with a 5 to 15 year leak-free warranty, so you get the benefits of a new roof and big savings. Call 901 Waterproofing and Roof Coatings at 287-1923 or visit them at 901waterproofing.com and give your old roof a new life.
Spilled your red wine? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker and is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand, so you can get back on track quicker. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast, but the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Now, back to The Six. It's the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show.
My vocation's sitting here and telling you what Sam Soissini said. He said it today on the Jeff Calkins Show. This is what he thinks about Ja Morant's fit with the Grizzlies and just exactly what the Grizzlies can expect with him.
He is a terrific, terrific point guard who has great vision. He's so great at getting his teammates involved with the game. His live dribble game is unbelievable. He can get in and out of areas. And his passing off of the live dribble is absolutely outstanding. He can throw left-hand whip passes. He can throw, you know, right-hand pocket passes, the rollers. It's just he's got every single pass in the toolbox, basically. So you look at how he would morph with a guy like Jaren Jackson, who was their selection last season. I think it's a great fit in terms of being able to run pick and pops, being able to do a lot of different actions, as long as they can find a way to get some spacing around him.
Two things about Sam's point. First, what is so exciting is, and I am not trying to besmirch the good name that was Grit and Grind, but it's been a long time since we've seen what Grit and Grind really was. And for me personally, I am so eager to see some athleticism and to see a point guard with some vision and a guy that can really take advantage of just the sheer athletic prowess that Jaren Jackson has. And I'm ready to just kind of see some highlights.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that there's a very real chance that John Morant could be in the dunk contest next year. He's that type of level athlete. And just the explosiveness that he can create off of 2 feet is just watching a player dunk off of 2 feet with the violence that he has is just, for some reason, extremely pleasing to the eye.
It's not only watching a guy off 2 feet, because that's powerful. Right. Like, that's a power move. Like,
yeah.
You know, think about even when you lower the goal to 8.5 to try and really do some work. You got to go off one, because I don't know if you ever tried to stand flat-footed and dunk. It's not easy.
No, I'm not Taco Fall.
No, it's very – well, yeah. He doesn't really dunk. He just kind of, like, turns and puts it and then hits the rim. But with Morant, more importantly, what is exciting is we have seen point guards that have the skill set that he does, which is – an unbelievable ability to get into the lane, great vision, he's a really good ball handler, and more importantly, he can pass with both hands. Underrated talent, I think, of James Harden is his ability to pass with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that largely goes unnoticed about his game. But with Morant, it's creating offense. And that's one of the most difficult things to find. And if indeed this is what he is, and particularly at the NBA level, that's a heck of a building block, and that's a heck of a foundation, because now you've got your point guard, and now you've got your freak in Jaren Jackson. Of course, though, there's no such thing as a perfect NBA prospect. Even Zion Williamson has question marks surrounding him. There's questions about how well will he be able to shoot the basketball. There are questions about, okay, well, is his size still going to be an issue? None of which I agree with, by the way. But I think he's in a league of his own. I think the problem with him is we haven't seen him.
Right.
So because we haven't seen him, we struggle to kind of grasp what he is, but he's just awesome. So, but there's still questions surrounding him concerning people that know what they're looking at. So let's start first with the strengths of Ja Morant. Here was what Givony had to say, because he thinks one of his single greatest strengths is his ability to pass the basketball.
We saw a guy last year come in Trae Young that had a similar ability to make plays for his teammates. And honestly, I think that because Morant is just a little bit quicker than Trae and has, I would honestly say, a bit less of a scoring mindset than Trae does, I look at Morant as a guy that's going to be able to come in. He's going to finish if they give him the key, if they give him the keys to the engine and everything like that, and just have him play 30 minutes a night. I think he's going to finish top five in the NBA in assists, to be honest, just because you look at the way that he can just handle the ball, weave in and out of traffic, and I'm telling you, you're going to see this guy make some passes that are just absolutely unbelievable. He sees the floor incredibly well, and he can make passes from any angle with either hand, and he can make them in any situation. It's just kind of an unbelievable mix of gifts as far as passing the ball, at least.
I feel like Krieger in the scene in Archer where he just goes, stop, stop. I can only get so erect right now. Like, I'm so happy right now. Like, this is like what I love at basketball. It's basically right. What Ja Morant is. Okay, so I'm riding on cloud nine. Let's hear some cons. Let's hear something against it. What about his ability to shoot? Because that is something that has definitely been criticized. Let's hear about that.
He is an improving jump shooter when he can get his feet set. If you can give him some time to get his feet set into, like, you know, Murray State runs a lot of actions where they start him in the corner, actually, and then they have him fly up from the corner and take, like, a dribble handoff or something. He's pretty comfortable. If you get his feet set, he'll just pull right from there and knock down a three. You know, we and against the Florida State team in the NCAA tournament in the second round, we saw him make five threes early on in that game because they played, like, serious drop coverage, right? So he just had, like, eons of time to set his feet and knock down shots. But in the NBA, the problem is for lead guards, you're not going to get that time all the time, right? So the big thing that he needs to do is diversify his game off of the pull-up, I think. He needs to be able to get through his pull-up, get into his mechanics a little bit quicker, and get that release off just a little bit faster.
So, legitimately a concern, because if you have a slow release, and if you are someone that in the NBA that typically has to get his feet set, and it's a process about getting a shot off, mm-hmm. it's typically not a great formula for being a good shooter in the NBA. Like, part of what I think makes Klay so fantastic of a shooter is he always figures out a way to get his body when a pass comes to him, whatnot. He's always ready to shoot.
Right, absolutely. And one of the good things is that something that you can work on pretty a lot on is your jump shot. He has some weird shot mechanics that I think he needs to get worked on. Like, he bows his elbows out a little bit when he takes the jump shot, but I think an NBA guy's going to get with him. They'll probably fix that up. A quick shot, if he adds a quick shot to his game, it's going to be incredible.
You know who else didn't really have, like, the world's greatest shooting mechanics, and it kind of was a slow process to get a shot off?
Who's that?
Steve Nash.
Ooh.
I don't really care. Like, if you're a point guard,
he'll figure it out.
Well, it's not even that. It's that if you're offering me Steph Curry, yeah, I'm going to take that. But
yeah.
At the same time, when we just went through all the other skill sets that he has, which is the unbelievable ability to get in the lane, the ability to create offense, if you're doing all of those things, you're going to start being able to give yourself some space, and therefore you don't need as much room to get a shot off.
Absolutely. And I think, and one of the big reasons I am a Ja guy over Barrett is because of his playmaking ability. I just think that he makes the guys around him so much better. I mean, taking a team like Murray State and doing what they did in the NCAA tournament is extremely impressive. And there are multiple games. I was up again until 2 a.m. last night watching Ja highlights because I'm an addict now. What happens is, in these games, is that he forces the defense to come to him so much. There was a specific play when they played West Virginia where all five of the defenders collapsed on him, and he just whipped it across the lane and hit a wide-open three-point shooter exactly where he needed it to get his jump shot off. Plays like that are so valuable because when you have a player like Jaren Jackson Jr. that you want him to develop with, making players around him is so important. I just don't think that RJ can maximize Jaren's talents like Ja can.
I'm with you. Okay, now I understand there might be some of those out there that aren't quite convinced. And if you're anything like me, I'm dumb. I need comparisons. I need someone to tell me, like, okay, well, this person is this in the NBA. And that would go, oh, yeah, I like that. I want that. Well, thankfully, Sam's got our backs because here's the comparison that he sees with Ja Morant.
I'm not a fan of that one, to be honest. I don't think that he's going to put pressure on the defense in the same way that Russ does. Like, Russ is just a freight train, right, coming out in transition. That's not really Ja. The two guys that I kind of think of him as a mix of is, like, imagine if you combine, like, Rajon Rondo's mentality on distribution with De'Aaron Fox's athleticism, right? Like, that's kind of the two guys that I look at and see the most of whenever I watch Ja Morant play basketball. I mean, trying to think if, like, there's one guy. There's not really one guy that fits everything that Ja does, but I would say that, you know, two very skinny guys, one guy in De'Aaron Fox that has very electric athleticism, can run the floor, you know, kind of weave in and out of the paint. And then Rajon is a guy that just has that unbelievable mentality, has the ability to make passes with either hand, and just has that unselfish mindset. So I would say, like, kind of a combo between those two.
How you feeling about that, Connor?
That's beautiful. I mean, I'm over the moon with that. I mean, come on. If we can get a Rajon Rondo in De'Aaron Fox's body and with his athleticism, then it's just a home run. Yeah, it's the heavens have opened up and the basketball gods are finally blessing us.
The Jason and John Show.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. This is an interview I've looked forward to for a long time. His name is Nick Van Exel, former all-star point guard in the NBA, former Grizzlies assistant coach. He joins us now. Coach, how are you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Man, number one, thank you for your time. And number two, I got to ask you right off top, because we had your man Greg Buckner on yesterday. Any debate for you
on who the Grizzlies should take at number two. No, they've already come out and said they want to take Ja Morant. But I tell you what, Buck threw us for a curve yesterday. He said he'd take R.J. Barrett. What about you, Nick?
Buck is always throwing curves, man. I'm taking Ja Morant, man.
How come? You see everything? As a point guard, I got to figure that's your guy.
I mean, just the way the game is now. You know, you got guys, you want guys who can put the ball on the ground, create plays, make plays for himself and others, be able to shoot the ball, run your team. You know, and you got him along with Mike Conley. To me, you know, that's a no-brainer for me.
Obviously, there's going to be a lot of discussion if Ja is the choice about what you do with Mike Conley. It sounds like you believe, at least initially, that they should play him together. Is that sort of how you see it going or how it should be, you think?
I mean, you just look at the history of the Grizzlies, what things they always been missing. And this is like even when I was coaching at other teams and then being here, it's either shooting or somebody else that can make a play other than Mike Conley.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got a chance to add that with Mike Conley. And the way the game is now, it's a playground game. It's a one-on-one game.
Yep.
Creating space, you know, guys getting to the basket and guys shooting threes. Why not have two of them? To me, I wouldn't trade Mike Conley unless I can really, really, really get something special for him. Because Mike right now is playing at a really high level, mm-hmm. you know, especially with the way the new game is. And to me, there's no way I trade Mike unless I really get something special for him, because those two together,
yeah.
Oh, my God, anything. Oof, I like that.
I'm with you on that. I'm interested to see how that would look. Don't know how long they'd keep it that way, but certainly interested to see how that would look. And talking to Buckner and now listening to you, it sounds like you guys think that Mike, knowing what we do about him, that he's the pro's pro, would do everything and still be that same high-level guy. But, Nick, I got to ask you, if you're him and in his shoes, and because you're around him so much and know the competitor he is, I mean, just what would you want to do? Would you want to get out somewhere and get on a you know, at this point in your career, get on a contender, try to win a title? Are you okay? We know how much you love Memphis, but are you okay with playing it out here?
If I'm Mike Conley?
Yeah.
That's a good question, but I think that if you can bring back the same core, the same team that you had last year.
Yes, sir.
With Valanciunas, get a healthy Kyle Anderson, a healthy Dylan Brooks, bring back pretty much just about everybody that you can,
mm-hmm.
Avery Bradley, and now you got a healthy JJ, and you can bring in a Ja Morant. You know, if I'm Conley, then, you know,
you can
I'm staying.
It.
If a lot of things don't shape up to where we may not be a good team coming in and everybody's saying, well, they're picked 11th in the West, 12th in the West,
mm-hmm.
then I may have to, you know, rethink about moving on. But if the team comes back healthy, we got a lot of the key pieces,
yep.
it could be a pretty good team. So, of course, you know, I would want to be a part of that because I helped. You know, start it from the beginning,
right.
You know, and I want to be there in the end.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow morning, beginning at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of Golic and Wingo. Weekdays from 5 till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. A radio.com sports station.
It's the season for graduation and celebrations. It could be your turn next. Jump into your future this summer at Belhaven University. Finish your bachelor's degree. Pursue your master's or continue with a graduate certificate. You can fit a quality education into your busy schedule and your budget. Classes are forming now for May and June. There's never been a better time to enroll. Attend classes in Memphis, South Haven, or online. To discover more, visit memphis.belhaven.edu or call 901-896-0184. Trust your education to Belhaven University and let us help you today.
At Coyote, we're going to treat you like dirt because we hold dirt in the highest regard. We're honored to find it under our fingernails, lucky to be caked in it at day's end. It keeps us humble, honest. Dirt gets taken for granted by most. But if you know us, you know getting treated like dirt means getting treated with respect. Coyote, we dig dirt. Kalb Equipment, one of the oldest tractor dealers in the area. Kalb Equipment is now the Mid-South's newest Coyote tractor dealer. Kalb Equipment, 901-761-1300.
You always test the water, don't you? Whenever you get into the shower or the bathtub, you always make sure the water is not too hot so you don't get burnt. And the same thing is true if you're thinking of selling your home. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf Realtors, celebrating 150 years in business. back to the hot water. When you or someone you know is thinking of selling, make sure and test the water. Talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out not only what they think about your house and the price, but what they will do for you. And make sure that I am one of them. I have an award-winning, highly successful strategic marketing program with a Shell Bucks option that can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. You can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Find out why people often say that when you want the job done, call Shell Done. Between the internet marketing, our nationwide relocation business, and the Shell Bucks, you definitely need to call me at Shell Done Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now and don't get burnt.
Mayday, mayday. This may be hard to believe, but there are 4 amazing games making the rounds this May.
Wow.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Oh.
But make no mistake, all 4 are sure to cause mayhem all May long. So don't wait and run the risk of being, well, dismayed.
Oh, man.
Make a major play today with new May instant games.
Nice.
If you're lucky, you may find yourself making it rain with a major amount of cash. Yeah. New May instant games.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.